happens to suffering, the all-time classic sufferer, is Job. Job's a man whose very name has become synonymous with suffering. If it were possible that somehow we could invite him to come from heaven and from history, to be our guest tonight, to be able to talk to him and interview him, to ask him questions, well, with me, your imagination just runs as to what he would say. I suppose that he would tell us that there's no way he would choose to relive the experiences which he had. No way to again go through the trauma of the loss of material possessions and the loss of the lives of his children, the loss of physical health and friendships and the multitude of other things that have become synonymous with the troubles of Job. But at the same time, I suspect that that same character, Job, if he were to come from heaven and from history, would say to us, there is also no way that he would trade in that which he learned and those experiences which he had. There's nothing else that he would like in exchange for that which he benefited from that which he went through. I suspect also that if Job were here tonight, he would look into the eyes of fellow sufferers, and he would say, no matter what your hurt, no matter what your problem, don't let anyone minimize it. Don't let anyone write it off. Because there's something special and unique about everyone's suffering. And he would say, I understand because I've been there. And then I believe that Job would go on and he would tell to us the lessons that he learned. The lessons that he learned through his sufferings. And first on his list would be the grand lesson, the amazing lesson, that life's greatest good is not found in comfort. You recall that there was a time in Job's life when he had all the comforts, when he had it made, when he lived in oriental opulence. He had the best of everything, and he lost it all. And he learned the lesson that comfort wasn't most important after all, that the most important thing of life is to glorify God. To glorify God means to enhance his reputation, to uplift his name. And Job would tell us, as hard and difficult as it is, the truth of it is that God sometimes receives greater glory through poverty than through prosperity. That God's name is oftentimes uplifted more through sickness than through health. And that our greatest opportunity to glorify God is many times found in the troubles that we face rather than in the triumphs that we experience. So Job would want us to know and never forget that life's greatest good is not always found in comfort. But that's not the only lesson that Job learned. He would go on. He would say to us that a second lesson is that ignorance often accompanies suffering. Now, when we read the book of Job, we know the story. We know the backdrop. We know what happened. We know that in Job's life was fought a battle between God and Satan, one of the most interesting and significant and memorable battles of all of eternal history. But for Job, it was different. One day he had prosperity and health, and only a matter of days later he had neither. He was in poverty and sickness. And then sometime later in his life, he again had prosperity and health. But he never knew the reason why. He never knew why he suffered as he suffered. Never had a rationale, never had an explanation. And to his dying breath, God never told him why he went through that which he experienced. And so Job learned a lesson. The lesson to look at life and to cope with life and to handle life and to react to the experiences of life without always knowing the reason why, and trusting God that the reasons are good, even if we suffer in ignorance. Ignorance often accompanies suffering. And then Job would tell us a third lesson, the lesson that misunderstanding often compounds suffering. When he went through his troublesome times, his wife came to his side, His friends came. They interrupted their schedules and they gave a multitude of their hours to give their words of comfort, to share their counsel, to say that they understood, but they didn't. Job says to us that hurt and suffering is a very private matter. And sometimes when people come with the best of intentions and try to give to us the kindest of words, their misunderstanding compounds and makes the hurt greater and makes the suffering worse. That suffering is like a private shell, and only those inside can really know what it's like. And then Job would go on, and he would tell us another of his lessons, perhaps in some ways the most important of all. The lesson that suffering enables us to love God for Himself. We tend not to do that, you know. We tend, even in our prayers, and particularly at Thanksgiving time, to say, God, we love you and thank you for my job and thank you for my family and thank you that in the midst of a recession I'm making it financially and thank you, God, that I have good health and thank you for the multitude of your blessings. So much so that sometimes it becomes a little bit difficult to distinguish whether we are loving God for God's sake or whether we are loving God for the sake of the things which He has given to us. Job's lesson is that when suffering comes, many of the things are stripped away, and that which is superfluous is no longer there. And we learn, as Job learned, to love God not for the things that He does for us, nor the gifts that He gives, but for God alone. To love Him just for Himself. And then a fifth lesson, a final one, but again an important one for fellow sufferers. Job learned that God understands our suffering. Even when others didn't understand, God understood. He had a concern, and He came, and He listened to Job, and He spoke. Not hollow words of comfort, not platitudes that were simply off a greeting card, but had no depth to them. God didn't speak words that were hollow words, nor did He speak condemnatory words. God spoke realistic words, sometimes a little bit tough for Job to hear, and other times as soothing as the best of balms. But He proved that He understood and that He came when Job was hurting the most. Maybe the hardest and at the same time the sweetest evidence of God's understanding is comparing the first and the 42nd chapters of Job's biography. At the beginning, he was a man who counted his wealth in livestock and in land and in money. At the end, there was twice as much. God made up to him all the things that he had lost in land and livestock and wealth. He measured it by multiplication. At the beginning, Job had sons and daughters, and they all died. And at the end, Job had sons and daughters. But unlike the land and the money and the livestock, the number was not multiplied. Because that sensitive, understanding Lord realized that you may be able to make up for the loss of wealth by giving twice as much, but there's no way you can ever make up for the loss of a son or a daughter. He understands. He comes alongside. He speaks words of comfort. Are you hurting? Are you suffering? Then God has given to you the true story. The true story of a man who lived so long ago that we don't even know the time period in which he lived. God has given to us, for our comfort and for our understanding, the story of Job. So let's relive his life with him. Job, the sufferer. was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. So this made him one of the greatest men of all the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast, each in their own home. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings on their behalf. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them.
"Whence have you come? We're going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Does Job fear God?
Now there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's home. It was a dark day when the messengers brought this Satan's handiwork.
The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them, and slew thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell thee.
The fire of God fell from heaven, and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.
The Chaldeans formed 3 companies and made a raid upon the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.
Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, and it struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell thee."
"Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
"Whence have you come? I'm going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. Skin for skin, all that a man fails to give for his life. But put forth thy hand, touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee in thy face. Behold, he is in your power, and we spare his life."
So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord, and afflicted Job with loathsome sores, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd for which to scrape himself, and he went and sat among the ashes.
Job, just look at you. Tragedy upon tragedy. We've lost our livestock. We've lost our wealth. We've lost our sons and our daughters. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die!
You speak as a foolish woman would speak. Would you have good at the hand of God? And would you not receive evil?
Now, when Job's three friends heard of all the evil that had come upon him, they each came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come and condole with him and comfort him. And when they saw him from afar, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept, and rent their robes, and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great.
Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night which said, a man-child is conceived. Why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb and expire? Why is light given to a man who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul?
If one ventures a word with you, will you be offended? Yet, who can keep from speaking? Job, how can you say the things you are saying? How can you wish to die? Your words and wishes are not those of a righteous man. As I have seen, those who pile iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. That which you now reap can be nothing but the result of that which you have sown. Do not try to vindicate yourself, Job. Repent and humble yourself, so that God may return you to prosperity.
Oh, that my vexation were weighed, and that all my calamity be laid in balances, for then it would weigh more than the sand of the sea. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant my desire, that it would please God to crush me, for him to let loose his hand and cut me off. Teach me, and I will be silent. Let me know how I have erred. I am like a slave who longs for his shadow, like a hireling who looks for his wages. The night is long. When I lay down, I say, when shall I arise? I am full of tossing till the dawn. My flesh is clothed with worms and dirt. My skin hardens, then breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, than come to an end without hope.
How long will you go on saying these things, and the words of your mouth be like a great wind? Does God prevent justice, or does the Almighty prevent the right? If you will seek God and make supplication to the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, surely then he will rouse himself for you and reward you with a rightful habitation. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great.
I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Let me know why thou dost contend against me. Does it please God to oppress, to despise the work of the hands, to favor the designs of the wicked?
Should a multitude of words go unanswered, and a man full of talk be vindicated? Should your babble silence men? And when you mock, shall no one shame you? For you say, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in God's eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips to you, and that he would tell you the secrets of wisdom. For he is manifold in understanding. Know then that God exacts of you less than your guilt deserves.
No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Who of you does not know of such things, that I am a laughingstock to my friends? I, who called upon God, and he answered me, a just and blameless man, am a laughingstock.
And so the long conversation continued between Job and his friends. Job sat in agonizing bewilderment while Eliphaz accused him of sin. Bildad accused him of hypocrisy. Zophar called him a liar. Time after time, Job argued on his own defense. He didn't know why he was suffering so, but he knew in his heart he was a righteous man, no matter what his friends might say. You know, they really meant well. In fact, much of what they said was true, only it just didn't apply to Job. Job was suffering for reasons known only to God and not to man. Meanwhile, Elihu, who was sitting in the shadows, reluctant to speak because of his youth, could hold back no longer in his speech.
I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore, I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak, and many years teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that teaches him what is right. Is not the old that are wise, the aged that understand. Therefore, I say unto you, let me also declare my opinion. Behold, God is mighty. He does not despise any. He gives the afflicted their right. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. But kings upon the throne he sets them forever, and they are exalted. If they are bound in fetters and caught in the cords of affliction, he declares to them their works and their transgressions, that they have been behaving arrogantly.
Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?
Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let he who argues with God answer him. Behold, I am a small account. I speak once, and I will not proceed. Twice, and proceed no further.
I am God, created great creatures of land and sea. I am the wise and right who does what I will to you.
I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Therefore I have uttered things which I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear me, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will declare to me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the eyes, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in the dust and ashes.
And concerning you, Eliphaz, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends. For you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept his prayer not to you, and you according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.
And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job, and he gave Job twice as much as he had had before, when he had prayed for his friends. Then there came a time where all of his brothers and sisters and all the friends that had known him before came and ate bread in his house. They offered him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than in his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 7,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The name of the first, Keziah. The name of the second, Jemima. The name of the third was Karen Habak. And in all of the land there were no daughters so fair as Job's daughters. And their father included them in their inheritance with the brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days.
Let's stand to be dismissed in prayer together. Our loving Father, we know that there was a special economy in the writing of your word. So many things that you wanted to tell us, so very much that we need to know. How very selective you had to be. How grateful we are, Lord, that in the little space which you had to share your revelation, you chose to tell us the simple story of a man long ago who hurt, who suffered, who was afflicted because of no wrong that he had done. Because now, down through the hundreds and thousands of years later, in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our affliction, throughout our suffering, we understand that you are a God who deeply cares and who does understand that which we cannot know. You are the one who in the long term vindicates your own. You are the one who guarantees that right shall triumph. You are the one who gives the final victory. And so, Lord, like Job, we go through struggles. There are times when we lash out against you. There are times when we are confused in the midst of our counsel. There are times when we hurt terribly. But Lord, like Job, may we walk in our integrity and be faithful to you. And may we learn to love you for who you are and not just the things that we have. Lord, we seek not suffering, but we do seek the face of the Savior who suffered in our behalf. And we ask that through the midst of our difficulties, we might be faithful to him, for we know that he shall be faithful to us. Enable us, Lord, to go forth from the fellowship of your people to live victoriously to the glory of God through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.